We hope you enjoy this episode of the Modern Divorce Podcast. But first, an important message for our listeners.
Embarking on a new chapter? Zach Knutzman of the Jarwin Wall team at Realty One Group is your go-to real estate expert in Arizona, specializing in guiding couples and families through their real estate needs while experiencing a divorce. Modern Law's trusted partner, Zach, brings expertise, confidence, and compassion to your real estate journey. Let him help you navigate this challenging time. Zach Knutzman, your modern solution in real estate. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Modern Divorce Podcast. I'm your host, Billy Tarasio. Today, talking with Chris Duren here, attorney at Modern Law. Chris, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Billy. How are you today?
Doing so good. Thank you for being here. You have one of the best stories, so I'm excited to get into it. Okay. You are kind of in, I don't know, phase two or phase three of your career. What would you call it?
I would call it phase two.
Got it.
So phase one was I went to law school, and right out of law school, I started my own solo practice. A lot of people thought I was crazy for doing it, but at the time, I always wanted to be my own boss. So I came back to my hometown where I knew the most people, and I figured I was already poor. So I had nowhere to go but up. And in 26 years, I was able to operate my own solo practice, and I believe I was quite successful. And so, as you mentioned, I'm on phase two now. My youngest child is graduating from high school, and I am to the point of I enjoy the legal work doing, and I'm just looking for, you know, as obviously with your firm, to just focus on doing the legal work. And so that's the second phase of my legal career right now with family law cases.
And in the 26 years that you've been practicing, how much of that time has been spent in family law?
I would say probably about a third. You know, when you're a sole practitioner, you can't always, you know, a lot of times, you know, you have to pay the bills. So you don't always get to specialize in what you want to specialize in. So I would say most of my practice was about a third family law, then civil litigation, real estate, business law, and some estate planning.
I love that because I think that those areas are really important in family law cases, especially the more complicated family law cases where you've got extensive real estate holdings or a business. And so I think that that really helps you bring value to the table.
Yeah. You know, there's people that say, oh, you should specialize in this, but in a way, when you don't specialize, it forces you to look at a case from different perspectives. So like you mentioned in a divorce case, You might be dealing with a small business. You might be dealing with real estate. You might be dealing with estate planning documents. And, you know, or there's potential of, you know, maybe there's some civil litigation issues that may arise. So it forces you to view a case from a couple different perspectives that maybe you wouldn't have thought about if you just do family law. Like if you don't have an understanding of probate, you might not understand, you know, how this proceeding might affect the divorce case or a business law, for example, like, okay, there's an LLC, but what does that mean? You know, is there an operating agreement? You know, how are we valuing it? So kind of understanding, you know, when you come into divorce, you deal with a small business. If you have that business background, you kind of understand, you have a different perspective on that divorce versus if you didn't have any experience in real estate or business law.
Absolutely. So what would you say your favorite types of cases are?
Oh, the cases where I can help somebody. the reason I enjoy being a lawyer, and especially in family law cases, it's you have an opportunity to have a direct impact on somebody and help them with their immediate situation. I mean, I love trial work, civil litigation, but divorce law, we really think about it. Divorce law is, I mean, it is a civil litigation case, and it's a condensed civil litigation case. So, you know, a lot of times when you do personal injury or civil litigation, you have cases that drag on for years. And divorces, you have a start and, you know, the courts are pretty good about moving it through. So you have, you know, this mini civil litigation case that you're helping somebody on. And a lot of times it's more than just a breach of contract issue. It's involving children. It's about, you know, you know, keeping the marital home, getting proper support. So you can really have a direct impact in a big way on people in a, you know, in a way that doesn't take years. It can take only a couple of months to help them.
That's a great point. I've never heard anyone describe divorce cases as condensed civil litigation, but it really is. All the elements of civil litigation, your discovery, your depositions, your experts, all of that is present in a divorce, or can be. And so divorces can be huge ordeals that last years and years and years. But most of the time, it doesn't make sense to do that. There's not enough money for that. And it makes sense to figure out how to condense it and make the case as quickly as possible. How do you do that?
I would say in a divorce case, the most important thing is to know the facts. Because in a divorce case, the law is always constant. I mean, there's not a lot of, you know, there's not a lot of case law that comes up in a divorce case. It's usually the statutes are set, and then it's really fact driven. So you really have to understand the facts of your case backwards and forwards, and understand where your client's coming from, and all the financial assets, or you know, issues with parenting time, or you know, there might be issues with custody. So I think, at least from my perspective, the most important thing that I try to do is just try to know the facts backwards and forwards, because I think you really need to understand everything when you deal with divorce. Because, you know, when you're trying to settle a divorce case, I always ask my clients, well, I try to ask them as much as possible, what's the most important thing for you in this case? You know, everyone wants to get their best result they can, but, you know, some people have, well, the most important thing is that the kids are home with me, or the most important thing is I get to stay in the marital home. Or the most important thing is, you know, I, you know, had these rights regarding, you know, legal decision making for our children, whether it's schooling. So when I meet with a client, I try to establish what's their most important goal that they have. And then I work towards that. And sometimes with settlement, you may focus on that main objective, and maybe you don't get everything you want with some of these other issues. But, you know, my experience is, you know, if the client, you know, is able to secure what they really wanted, then they're usually happy. And, you know, what I tell people with settlements, that settlement is usually, and I used to do work as a family law mediator. I used to tell people, and civil litigation mediation, the first thing I would, you know, tell people is settlement is usually both sides walk out of the room with a pit in their stomach. And they both feel like they got cheated. You know, they both feel not good about the result, but that's what settlement is. So a lot of times when you settle, you're not going to get everything you want, but you know, that's what settlement is.
Right. It's like this combination of relief, it's over, but could I have done better? So there's almost always regret that people have after they settle, which is hard when you're the attorney. So how do you support your clients the day after settlement when they're having buyer's remorse?
You know, it's usually these conversations are having before they settle. So when you go into settlement, you kind of establish what they're looking for. And then when it comes to when they finally do agree to something, I mean, I take a lot of time explain the pros and cons, because at the end of the day, it's up to the client if they want to agree to something or not agree to something. It's completely up to them. But I try to give them the pros and cons of each, and what they think they missed out on, there might be a way to explain it to them and give them a different perspective on it, where, you know, what you missed out on is really not that bad. So for example, like equalization payments, a good thing. People, you know, say, I don't want to pay my X amount of dollars, right? And that's too much money. I'm not paying that. But then you can explain it. Well, if you agree to this and you refinance and you take out a mortgage, and you know, well, let's think about it. So let's say it's a 30-year mortgage. You're paying it over 30 years. I mean, so it's really not that bad. Or I'm keeping the house and I have to pay them off, but your house is appreciating. And you may make up the difference of what you think you're fighting. Let's say you're fighting over $20,000. Well, your house might appreciate in a couple of years, $20,000. So you're really not paying anything in a couple of years when you think about it, because you're getting an asset that's accumulating in value. So, you know, so a lot of times if somebody is stuck, I try to give them a different perspective on it, that maybe it's not as bad as you think it is.
Let's switch gears and talk about the courtroom. You have been getting some outstanding courtroom victories. Well, your clients are thrilled. What is your secret to success in the courtroom?
Oh, knowing the facts. It comes back to knowing the facts. I've been doing it long enough that, you know, the evidence rules are pretty ingrained in me. You know, how to conduct myself in a courtroom is pretty ingrained. But without fail, no matter, anytime you go into court, I always tell people, well, what's, or question you get, well, what's going to happen when you go into court? And I tell people, it's up to the judge, and it's always a 50-50. You know, if you're gonna win or lose, no matter if you have a great case, you have a horrible case. A lot of times it's a 50-50 because it's at the judge's discretion, and you don't know what facts the judge is gonna rely on. You don't know what law the judge is gonna rely on. Maybe maybe judge is a bad mood that day. There's lots of factors that go into it. And I say for me, the biggest thing is just knowing the facts backwards and forwards, because without fail, any court hearing or anytime you have testimony and witnesses, no matter how much you prepare, there's always going to be a surprise that you're not going to be prepared for. It comes out of left field, and you have to be able to, and if you know the facts, you are able to roll with it and adjust on the fly and maybe have a good response to it. Or, you know, if you're during cross-examination and the person says something completely out of left field, or if on direct, your client says something that we're not expecting, as long as you know the facts backwards and forwards, I think that allows you to turn something that could have been really disastrous into something that you kind of give, it's not as bad as it could have been. But without fail, in court, you have to know that always there's going to be some surprise that you're never anticipating, and you got to be able to roll with it.
It's like improv. No matter how prepared you are, it feels like improv. But the combination of a very prepared and very experienced lawyer is pretty tough to beat. So that's probably why you're getting the results that you're getting in court.
You have to, I mean, trial work is one of those areas that it takes a lot of practice, and it's something that you have to have a lot of failures.
Yes.
To really, my quote I like to always say is, good judgment comes from experience. Experience comes from bad judgment. So, you know, when I was starting my practice, I used to, take as much trial work as I could starting out. I mean, there's lots of times I made big mistakes in the courtroom, but you learn from those. And you learn, okay, well, we don't want to do that again, and this is why, or this is how I'm going to be better prepared next time. And so I've kind of got to a point where I have a system where I know how, what I need to do to prepare for a court hearing going in, whether it's direct to my client or preparation of the evidence, cross-examination. And a lot of times with trial work, probably one of the most important things you have to do is figure out what you need and what you don't need. A lot of times it's, the piece of evidence that everyone thinks, oh, it's so important, actually, maybe it's not as important as people think, to fit together your theory and theme to the court as to what you're trying to show to the court. You know, it's almost the choosing what not to present or what not to object to or what not to raise as an issue is probably more important than what you actually you would put in front of the court sometimes.
I agree. But it's always easier to understand with a example. So will you share a story of one of your favorite cases and how it worked out and the impact that you were able to make?
Oh boy. Let's see. In terms of like something that worked out or didn't work out.
I think it's up to you. I personally would go with one that worked out.
So I would say, for me, probably there's a lot of psychology that goes into trial work and understanding the other side and the witnesses on the other side. And a lot of times that's why I'm in favor of when I know it's going to be a contested trial, it's usually good to do a deposition because, and then you get an opportunity to sit down with the person, talk with them across the table and have a conversation with them. And you get to pick up on what type of person they are, how they might respond in court, how they might answer questions. And a jury trial I had a couple of years ago was I did that and I knew this guy was going to lie on the stand. I just knew it. And so there's a, you know, you have your deposition transcript and I was just like, you know, and I was ready to impeach him with that as soon as, and from my experience, you know, because when people come into a courtroom, the judge or the jury, you know, they view a witness and they want to believe them. They don't have a bad view of them.
Right.
So there's a thing. So what they in the trial world, they say the person's wearing the white hat. And so your job on cross sometimes, depending on the witness, is to put the black hat on that person, you know, the bad hat. Yeah. So once you start impeaching them and showing, well, you're lying about this, you're lying about this, here's evidence that you're lying about this, then the jury can flip on that person and say, okay, you know, and then once a person's credibility is shot, you know, then it's much easier for your case. And that was just, you know, this jury trial I had just a couple of years ago. It just comes to mind that I knew because he came in as a sympathetic figure. And if you're able to turn that sympathy into animosity for the jury, that's something that can have a big impact on your case.
I love it. I love it. What do you do for fun?
Oh, what do I do for fun? So up until this fall, my hobby, I guess you would say, was coaching middle school football.
Nice.
I just finished my 29th year this last fall.
Wow.
I was been doing it since 1990. There was a few years I took off for law school where I didn't. That was probably one of the greatest experiences I had. And it's one of those things that my spouse would give me grief sometimes about how much time I would spend preparing. And because it's not just the fall, it sometimes it goes into the spring and the winter, just preparing for the upcoming season. So that was my hobby.
Hey there, co-parents. It's Billy Tarasio with Modern Law. And let me tell you about Our Family Wizard, our preferred co-parenting app. It's a game changer. I use it myself. With features like documented calls, secured messaging, shared calendars, and more, Our Family Wizard makes co-parenting smoother than ever. Trust me, I've seen the difference that it can make. Join the over 1 million parents and family law professionals who trust Our Family Wizard to make co-parenting easier. Ready to take some stress out of co-parenting? Head to ourfamilywizard.com/modern law. Okay, so we were talking about your hobbies and you were telling me that you were done with your 26 years of coaching middle school football.
29.
Sure. And transitioning from living primarily in Wisconsin to living primarily in Arizona. So what now for hobbies?
Well, you know, when I'm in Arizona, the one thing I love about Arizona is there's 1,000 places to hike. So hiking is a big thing for me, but looks like I'm going to have to start picking up pickleball now. So that's been.
I love pickleball. It's so fun. You know who else in our firm loves pickleball is Rachel. She's hardcore, okay. Hardcore. And she introduced me. We went as a firm to Pickle Mall, which is this indoor facility in AZ Mills Mall. It's this huge, huge indoor facility. Anyway, pickleball, so fun, especially when you're a little older and you're an athlete or you used to be an athlete, because it's a, you know, it's forgiving to those of us who maybe don't want to sprint as much as we used to. Does your spouse play too?
Just a little bit.
Nice.
She won't play me because I'm too competitive. So.
That's awesome. So you are primarily up in our Peoria and Scottsdale offices, right? Scottsdale's the preferred office, right?
Either one, but You know, I like both offices.
Nice. Good. I love it. So what are some things that you really like about modern law?
Number one, the people. Number two, the support that's there. The technology that you use and just your organization, just the support, the resources, you know, that's probably the biggest thing. It makes my job easier. You know, there's always different people that are able to help with any different issue. And, you know, whether it's the paralegal or the assistant that, you know, gets documents filed, or, you know, just the attorneys that are always available to help with any, you know, a legal issue comes up and you have a question about something. Just, I would say that's probably the number of support staff and attorneys that are just very knowledgeable and professional in what they do.
The deep bench. I appreciate this bench a lot, you know, because there's usually not an issue that somebody hasn't dealt with. And it's not always the lawyers. Like, we don't have a very, I'd say, hierarchical firm. So there are times when paralegals have experienced something that we attorneys haven't, and they're adding to the pool of meaning and knowledge. So I really appreciate that very much, and just how willing everybody is to share. You've been a fantastic addition. It's great to have you on board. It's great to be able to attract a male. I don't know what it is, but we keep attracting females, and we're so happy to have you here. Yeah. I'm sure the clients like it too. What, anything else that you want your future clients to know about you, or you think that they should know if they're considering working with you?
I would just say that just doing this the number of years, I've just had a lot of different experience. I mean, divorce is, like we mentioned, divorce is a civil litigation case, and there's all the legal aspects to it. But at the same time, there's a lot of non-legal aspects that go into a divorce that, you know, when you have somebody who's just, I've just had a lot of different life experiences, just not only in handling legal cases and all different types of legal issues, but just, you know, just living life. I mean, a lot of times it's just having a different perspective and dealing with different people. You know, over 26 years, I've dealt with such a range of people, and it's just having that experience and this experience of different situations maybe gives me a different perspective sometimes on an issue that maybe, well, this is the legal side of it, but what's more of the practical side of it? Or you can, when you talk to somebody, yes, this is the issue now, but how about we think about this like 2 years from now? You know, how is this going to be different 2 years from now? And I kind of have a perspective of, well, I can, you know, sometimes I think I know what the situation could look like in a couple of years. And maybe sometimes that gives a client a different perspective on something that maybe they think is not so great or not so bad. And maybe when you give them a different perspective on it, they say, oh, okay, yeah, I guess, yeah, that's true. You know, I didn't think about it that way before.
So. You bring up a really great point. In civil litigation, the case is over, the parties go their separate ways, and they get to move on. And in a divorce, if you have children, you don't go your separate ways. You go your parallel paths where you get to constantly engage. And so it makes the settlement or the structure that we come up with so much more important, because you're right. It has to work today. It has to work next year. It has to work the year after that. Like, our goal should be to keep you out of our office.
Right. It's like, right. You know, like a lot of times, you know, I have to explain to a client why we're trying to work all this stuff out, is because our goal is to make it so 5 years from now, you don't need us, that, you know, this is all going to be addressed. And but there's also the joke, well, it's not a joke, but the saying that a divorce file never closes. So, you know.
Right. Yeah. It's totally possible. There are those cases that never, ever, ever end. Right. But when we can, you know, help people to stay out of our office, I prefer it.
Right. And, you know, and a lot of times, even the most contentious divorces, especially with kids, you know, I have to explain to them is I'll say to them, believe it or not, you may not believe this, but it may be a year, 2 years, may take 5 years, but eventually the two of you are going to get along and co-parent, believe it or not. You will, and they're just, they look, they think, oh, no, that's never going to happen. But most times it does. Eventually, yeah. They do. They figure it out eventually.
Things settle down. Mm-hmm. And it's not linear either. Yeah. Well, Chris, thank you so much for coming on the show. Thank you for being at Modern Law. You're a tremendous asset to our firm and to our clients. So thank you so much and have a great day.
All right. Thank you. Nice talking with you.
Thanks so much for listening to the Modern Divorce Podcast. Remember, anything you've heard today or anything you read online is not the replacement for actual consultation with an attorney and does not create an attorney-client relationship. Even if you called in and we spoke to you, you are anonymous and we don't have your details and you have not become a client of Modern Law. However, we would love to speak with you, or you should seek out the advice of legal counsel or counseling or any other expert near you. And if you have an idea for a show topic or you need to speak with an attorney in Arizona, you can reach me at info@mymodernlaw.com.